This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:04, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Alan Pogenpohl, your country financial agent in Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing of Litchfield. By Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. By Cobwebs and Clutter in historic downtown Hillsboro. And BR Virtual Sports in Hillsboro. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, Uncle Ralph, and David Jenkins.
Tobinot, thank you very much. Proud Staunton alum, Tobinot. Thank
right.
you very much.
Bulldog born, bulldog bred.
Bulldog pride on full display yesterday up in DeKalb at Husky Stadium.
Yes.
At Northern Illinois University. And the Dogs brought home state championship hardware.
The interesting thing about it was the fans from Staunton, even though they knew the outcome was certain, they acted like they'd won the state championship. They were just so tickled to see that team accomplish what they did and get to the title game. It was amazing. It was amazing. And I think extremely appreciative.
It's just the dynamic that football has with earning your way into mm-hmm. the playoffs, and then to even get a trophy, yeah. you have to get to the title game. So finishing runner-up in football, it is really – it's not the same as winning, obviously, but – it's really not that far off.
As I said this morning at 7:30 Sports, there are 15 other teams that are the only team that would not trade places with Staunton after
right.
this weekend.
Yeah.
Everybody else would gladly trade places with the Bulldogs, except for the 15 teams that are playing this weekend.
And you know, when you've got powers like Sterling Newman, Central Catholic, they are a state power. Oh, you got powers like Rochester and SHG and Montini. Those types of programs, they go into a year, they want to win state, and if they don't win state, it's probably a disappointing year
right.
to a lot of folks. But when you're talking about a program like the Staunton Bulldogs making their first trip to the big game, I think it was their 11th appearance in the playoffs total, the fact they made it that type of run, that's a great year, and I won't be surprised in 20 years if that second-place football trophy is valued as much as the basketball championship trophy.
Oh, I don't think it's, you know, it's anything to sneeze at,
yeah.
that's for sure. And,
yeah.
And a lot of times it takes that historical perspective, that look back 20, 25 years out to really appreciate what happened. And you know, these kids and Mike Parmentier will probably tell us that, you know, this is an experience of a lifetime.
Yeah.
These kids got to do something that they've never had a chance to do before.
Especially coming off what happened last season when they got off to a good start and then ended up having an unfortunate end of the season, missing the playoffs, and then this year got off to another hot start, and then Jake Bruin goes down, and you think, oh, here we go again. And then they get the 8th seed as they're on the playoffs, just happy to make the playoffs. And
well,
here we are.
And not only happy for the Bulldogs, for Staunton High School, but knowing the Parmentiers,
yeah.
I was very happy for Mike and for his dad and for that family because they've been involved for a long time in education and in athletics, which go hand in hand. So it was really good. It was a neat
And
game.
I believe they were only the second team to make it that far with 4 defeats. I think Lombard or something.
They were teams. They were the first team since Montini in 09
yeah,
to get
yeah,
up there
yeah.
with 4 defeats. And the final score was kind of one-sided, but believe me when I tell you, Staunton didn't get just stomped into the ground yesterday. I mean, they had the lead. It was a touchdown game halfway through the second quarter.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, well, sports happened, you know.
Yes.
A turnover, a touchdown, and Sterling Newman Catholic, they are just big and bad. I mean, and they were just running right through the defense.
There was no surprises, Tim. I think everybody from on the coaching staff of Staunton will admit that, you know, they came up against a team who they thought they would come up against, and maybe even a wrinkle or two with a couple of passes here and there that they maybe did not anticipate, but. Newman Catholic, very strong running team, very big backs, very quick. And even the back that wasn't very big couldn't bring him down. Kid.
He was the toughest kid. 5'5", 155, but you couldn't tackle him.
Yeah.
Put it all in perspective as we've been sitting here talking about Staunton making their first trip to the state. And their opponent yesterday, I think that was only their fifth
title.
Yeah. Sure. Well,
put that in perspective.
Good recruiting year.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
Good recruiting couple of decades.
There you go. That's right.
But we could sit here.
The pipeline.
Yeah, we could sit here and talk all day about that, but then.
Oh, I got to get my jab in once in a while.
You got to get that.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it. Life goes on, you know.
Don't mince words, Terry. How do you really feel?
Well, yeah.
I think everybody knows. So.
But you look at that game yesterday. It really was a second quarter for Staunton.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was a five-point game after one, and then they got outscored 22-6 in the second quarter, shut them out in the third quarter, and then gave up just a late touchdown in the fourth quarter. So they essentially had one bad quarter.
Yeah, they played three quarters with a team that
– They were – yes, for three quarters, they were stride for stride with Newman Central Catholic.
Yes, it was just that one quarter that really took them out of the ball game and put them behind the eight ball. But you know, Staunton, you never really in the previous games, it didn't make any difference what the score was at halftime. You just always kind of felt that they had that shot.
Well,
they made a run there in the second half.
And when it was 28-13, and the Dogs had the ball late in the second half, and they fumbled.
Yeah.
And then Newman Central went in for the touchdown. That was really kind of the backbreaker.
Right.
You know, if the Dogs could have just kept it 28-13 at half, get the ball coming out to start the third quarter, who knows what happens. But it wasn't meant to be day.
That's right.
But it was a fun day, let me tell you. The Staunton folks, they traveled very well up to DeKalb yesterday. A
couple grand, maybe?
I would say so. I mean, that's a 24,000-seat stadium, and all the games were very well attended yesterday. If everybody from 1A, 2A, and 3A had stayed for the Rochester game last night, it would have been sold out.
Wow.
I mean, that's the type of crowds they had up there. And when we looked across the way, the Staunton section was right across the field from us on the east side of the stadium. And, I mean, it didn't look empty.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of times at Memorial Stadium would be at U of I.
Where you get this little patch of people and then all these empty seats.
Right. But Staunton had it spread out basically from end zone to end zone, and they were probably 12 rows up as well. So, I mean, they had a good section of people there, and I think they had a lot of fun.
Well, it's a once in a – I hate to say a once in a lifetime.
But it is.
For schools, it is, like Staunton or you know, just think back, guys. When was the last time we had a South Central or a team from Central Illinois go that far?
93, right? Carlinville?
Carlinville. Be the last
Miners
one.
Got second in 90, and the Cavies got – didn't the Cavies get second in 93 or 94?
Somewhere like that, yeah.
Yeah.
How did NIU do as a host of the tournament?
I'd say they did a good job. I mean, the whole event was very well run, as you expect with an IHSA sanctioned event. And I mean, the facilities were top notch. I think I never got up to the state football tournament. Was at U of I, but with NIU being a bit of a smaller campus, you know, everything was
a
little more intimate. Yeah. So I think that it's going to wind up being a very big success at NIU this year.
And don't be surprised if one year or somewhere in the future that they separate some of these tournaments, maybe do 1A through 4A at more of a southern location, and the 5A through 8A more of a northern location. Wouldn't shock me.
Of course,
that means splitting your personnel up. And, maybe that's the one thing that would lead them to keep it all in one spot.
It's a long day of football all those IHSA volunteers. Because Carl and I got there before the 1A game, so we watched the whole 1A game yesterday. And when we got done with the Staunton game, I felt like I'd been there for 6 days.
and as is the case around here and at every high school sporting event, you can't run it without volunteers.
Oh, no.
And the IHSA is the same way. They count on, you know, volunteers, just as our local teams do. And without the volunteers, you know, the experience is not nearly as nice as what it is. So
that's right. So
well, you just take your right now, for instance, we're going through a potpourri of high school basketball tournaments, boys and girls, and just look at your local high school, whether it's Litchfield or Carlinville or whoever's putting it on. Look at all the people from that school that have to volunteer to do things just to make that tournament a success. And by the way, guys, Northern Illinois, Tim, we have a gentleman from Hillsboro, Ed Ware, who's in the Hall of Fame there for basketball.
Yeah, they're kind of the class of Illinois when it comes to college football.
They're the best college football team in the state of Illinois, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
They might be playing for a BCS Bowl. They might be playing for a BCS Bowl, have a Heisman finalist up there in DeKalb. Really, that really is probably one of the best-kept secrets in the state is that campus up there at Northern Illinois University. Very nice. So very good job by all the folks putting that tournament on yesterday. And, of course, they've got four more state trophies to or state championships to hand out today. Eight total trophies and four of them for the title.
Starting off at 10 this morning, eight titles between Lombard Montini and Sacred Heart Griffin.
You know, it's almost a shame that game's at 10 o'clock in the morning.
That should be the 7 o'clock game
That should
tonight.
Be a prime timer. 10 a.m., really?
Yeah.
And that would be the one drawback, I would say, to the state football finals is that four teams have to play at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And one of them has to do it the day after Thanksgiving. So that's a bit rough, but hey, nothing's perfect.
That's right. Yeah.
Good luck to Mark Elverson Ryan in that game.
That's right.
Teacher at Litchfield High School.
That's right.
His son is playing for Sacred Heart Griffin.
Yeah. There you go.
See if they can bring it home.
There you go.
So that's the 10 o'clock game in 5A.
Yes. And in 6A, let me get my cheat sheet out here because I don't remember these. Oaklawn Richards takes on Batavia about 1. The 7A is Lake Zurich against Chicago Mount Carmel. There's a powerhouse for you. And then Loyola Academy against Naperville Central in the 8A at 7 o'clock tonight. So, but around here, of course, it's going to be Montini and SHG that we're kind of keeping an eye on. So.
About 12 and a half hours from now, the high school football season will be officially done, and then it will be basketball season, officially.
And wrestling.
Wrestling. We need to take a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we hope to catch up with Dave Kane from the Springfield State Journal Register. Dave is still up in DeKalb getting set for SHG and Montini. We will do that following these messages.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. And online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
What's new in Hillsboro? Cobwebs and Clutter Resale, located in historic downtown Hillsboro. Stop by and see what everyone's talking about. Buy, sell, trade, and they pay cash on the spot. Quality used furniture, vintage Lionel train sets, John Deere items, clothing, and collectibles. Cobwebs and Clutter has something for everyone. Gift certificates and layaway are available. Open Monday through Saturday from 8 to 6. Cobwebs and Clutter. Enjoy the difference in downtown Hillsboro.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires and complete exhaust, and now is a Hertz car rental agency. And, of course, heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's crew cab rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. When you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield. Remember 324-2400.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:17, let's take a look at the weather forecast, brought to you this time by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sunny skies for today. It will be a little bit warmer. Expect a high today of around 50 degrees. Partly cloudy skies for tonight. We'll have a low of around 30. Heading into Sunday, partly cloudy skies. Expect a high Sunday of around 48 degrees. At 9:18, we have a temperature reading of 40 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Some people can't get enough of the holiday season, which is why farmer-owned Prairie Farms Dairy came out with special holiday milks, now available at your local grocer. Try chocolate cherry, chocolate mint, or candy cane milks. For a quick taste of the season, grab a quart. Holiday milks in chocolate cherry, chocolate milk, and candy cane flavors, now available at your local grocer. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms.
Be
VR Virtual Sports in Hillsboro has everything you need to have a great time. And it's not just for kids, it's for adults. Virtual sports include hunting, golf, car racing, spinning bikes, batting cages, air hockey, and pool. Call 556-8558 for tee times. Memberships and hourly rates are available. VR Virtual Sports for the child in all of us. Located on School Street across from Vogel Lumber in Hillsboro. Like them on Facebook. GameZone Plus has it all, whether you want to play, sell, trade, rent, or repair. Think GameZone Plus in Nokomis. And with the holidays just around the corner, GameZone Plus has computers, laptops, tablets, movies on Blu-ray and DVD, video games, accessories, TV, and musical instruments. Shop local. Shop GameZone Plus in Nokomis. Open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturday.
And at 9:19, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Ives, Terry Tote, Uncle Ralph, and David Jenkins.
Staunton's own Tobinat, thank you very much. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, the Staunton Bulldogs recovering and celebrating their second-place state runner-up finish as they lost yesterday to Sterling Newman Central Catholic, but they're bringing home state hardware for the first time in the school's history. And guys, it's kind of fitting, I guess, that the season ended with a South Central team up at the state championship game, because this really was a banner year for the South Central Conference in terms of the football that was played in the league.
Well, not only the South Central, but the Sangamo, which, of course, the week before had teams battling each other for the right to get into the state finals. So, the two conferences in our neck of the woods fared very, very well this year. And not only, you know, and the neat thing about the conferences that our teams compete in is that the fact that, and this is probably the great example was, Coach Borgini at Gillespie rooting hard for the Bulldogs. You know, the conference teams will root hard for the people who are representing their conference. And you don't always get, you think you might get that, but that's not always the case. But around here it is. They pull hard for the teams that represent their conference. So.
And it was just the year in the league where top to bottom, we had competitive games. We saw the resurgence of Litchfield under Pat Rynch. Look at a team like Roxana. They were winless for most of the year. Don't forget, they beat Staunton, I think, in week 8.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're talking about...
Well, remember in week 3 or 4, we're talking about a team, the one team that nobody wants to play is Roxana.
Yeah.
Because they're not that bad. You know, they were winless, but they were going to get somebody. Yeah.
And they did, and that was...
Well, I was just going to say, one of the biggest differences, it seemed, in the South Central Conference specifically, everybody could score points. I mean, the last few years, you've seen a bunch of South Central offenses that have just struggled to get on the board, but from top to bottom, every team in the league just... I mean, they had no issue scoring points. The teams had issues stopping the ball, but, I mean, everybody was scoring. I mean, it was just phenomenal. I don't know if any of the teams ended up under 100 points.
Yeah, I don't know that either. Yeah. I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
So, but it was and from a broadcast standpoint, virtually every week we had exciting games on the radio. I mean, week in, week out, we had tight ball games that went right down to the wire. And you know, in a 9-week period, we don't always have that luxury at times. But boy, this year it was just. In fact, about halfway through the season, Tim, I think I made the comment. He was like, "Gosh." You know, guy that programmed all these games and is pretty smart. And then I thought, well, no, that can't be it.
He had a good year.
I just got lucky.
He had a good year.
Yeah. Well, we had good teams. That's why.
Well, we ended up having, 14 weeks of high school football broadcast, a few more games than that. But every week, at least one of our games was spectacular. And the playoff run that our local teams provided us this year was nothing short of thrilling.
And kudos and congratulations and a lot of thanks to the head football coaches, their assistants, the athletic directors, all the schools that we get a chance to visit and broadcast from and see their teams. We appreciate everything you do for us because you always treat us so well. So that's not always the case.
They make our job a lot easier.
Oh, they make our job easier.
And I think a lot of that, guys, is going to carry right on into the basketball season.
Always does.
Girls basketball in the South Central is loaded, and I think there's going to be some good competition among the boys' teams.
Well, we usually have a bit of a break here at the radio station between football and basketball. Not this year.
Not
the Bulldogs took us right up to the end of November. So thankfully, Terry, basically next week, We've got full bore basketball on WQSMI.
Well, we've got some Illini stuff to wrap up today with the Illini football broadcast at 2 this afternoon against Northwestern. And I forget what trophy they play for. Is it the...
The toilet bowl.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's the tidy bowl, man. Yeah. Yeah. Floating around.
Right.
Okay.
That's great.
And especially this year, Illinois has won one game and Northwestern hasn't won any.
Hey, that's not bad.
In the
Big Ten.
Big Ten.
Well, yeah. Big eight, little two. actually, that doesn't work out that
way.
They
got, 11 or 12?
They've got
12 now.
12 now, yeah. Yeah.
So. 14 next year.
So Big Ten and the Illini and Northwestern.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, see, you know, the Big Ten's kind of like the foul pole syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, it's a Big Ten conference, but you have 12 teams.
Well, it works though. There's still the Big Ten. There's 10 good teams.
Right.
And then there's two more.
What more do you want? Yeah.
There you go. There you go. Tuesday night, more Illini basketball. This is a big game. Illinois at Georgia Tech.
That is a big one.
This is a big road game for the Illini.
That's the Big Ten ACC challenge.
There you go. 5:45 Tuesday night on FM 106. And the next Friday, we'll see how the Staunton Bulldogs have recovered from football. The few that will play basketball as they play at Litchfield. We'll have live coverage at 7:30 next Friday night on WSMI FM 106. But a lot of tournaments going on. The Litchfield Purple Panthers boys basketball team into the championship tonight against Waterloo Jabot at the Metro East Lutheran Tournament. They play at 7 o'clock tonight, so good luck to the Purple Panthers as they've had an outstanding week of basketball. And of course, Jabot, seems like every year those guys are in the darn championship game.
They should just save them
really
the trouble
too.
And just put them right into the title game at the start of the tournament.
They're there, you
save them some trips.
That's right. That's right. Nokomis off to a great start this year. They'll be playing at Taylorville, I believe, tonight for what turns out to be the championship game of that stovetop tournament. Both of those teams are undefeated in opening week of play. And on the girls' side of things, you have Litchfield undefeated in their tournament, the Litchfield girls. They'll be playing Nokomis tonight, a team that they faced just, 10 or 15 days ago. And that'll be the second game tonight at Litchfield. The first game will be, I think, Vandalia-Carlinville. Yeah, there you go. And, of course, the Southwestern girls still rolling along. They're undefeated in their tournament, and to nobody's surprise.
I wonder if the Staunton Bulldogs boys basketball team plays a game on Tuesday, because if so, I mean,
let me tell you here.
They're going to get to practice once.
Oh, no, they don't.
Okay, well, that's good for them. So they'll get a solid week's worth of practice.
Well, if they would have lost last week, they would have had to play that following Tuesday
right.
in the Metro East tournament.
Had they would have been in the Metro East Lutheran tournament.
Yeah.
So. But they did withdraw from that, and so that's what kind of reshaped some of the schedule. But that's okay, you know. And
that, well, they had to do that.
Those things happen. That's great.
I guess they could have sent the junior high team down there, but that probably wouldn't have been real good.
That's probably not a good idea. No.
Send the Terriers down there to represent.
Speaking of junior high teams, Tim, since you touched on it here, let me get my cheat sheet. Girls junior high going into the sectionals next Wednesday night in Class 2A, 7th grade. Mount Olive, the Bombers, are back into the thick of things. They're playing Winchester at Jerseyville St. Francis Holy Ghost at 6 o'clock Wednesday night. Bombers are 10-13, Winchester 19-5. And Hillsborough and Southwestern will square off in the 3A matchup at Vandalia Junior High School on Wednesday night at 6. Two losses between those two teams. Hillsborough's 118 and Southwestern 21. So
imagine the Hillsborough and Southwestern hooking up. You know, they've had some classic battles over the years. So.
No matter what level.
Yeah, right.
No matter what level.
Junior
will
high
continue.
On up to high school.
That's exactly right. You heard Terry mention coming up tonight, the Litchfield Purple Panthers will play Waterloo Jabot for the championship at the Metro East Thanksgiving Tournament. And joining us now is the head coach of the Purple Panthers, Drew Logan, joining us here on Sports Saturday. Coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time, and it's always nice to play for a championship right out of the gate.
Well, I agree. That's kind of what we were focusing on as we started the tournament, and you know, we'll get that chance tonight.
You had a unique opportunity here, Drew, and it's not an opportunity that every coach wants, but once Ryan Howard went down early in the football season, you knew you were going to have a bit of a different type of team this year coming into the early part of the season.
Yeah, it was definitely, and I was kind of hovering over the play at Greenville because I was on top of the press box, and it didn't, you know, initially it didn't look like I didn't think it was his knee, honestly. I thought it was his shoulder because of the way he was laying. And once he stood up, I knew what it was. And, you know, it was kind of unfortunate the way it happened. And knowing Ryan as well as I've got to know him in the past couple of years, you know, it just breaks your heart. But as we know, you have to move on. And we've had some guys step up. We're still, you know, working out the kinks just from not having him out there. But we've had some young guys step up and really, really fill his shoes.
And, Coach, how active has Ryan been as far as a mentor and motivating guys, being an upperclassman now for the basketball team?
Well, he's one of the things he's been doing in practice. First off, he's kind of the extra eyes to see if guys are missing things or aren't getting things right. He's going with Justin Ripley is taking over and helping our freshman program, and he's been helped them put in and install our offensive stuff. And then even on the bench, he's doing statistical stuff, breaking down like transition, points off offensive rebounds. I kind of reassured his parents and even our athletic trainer, I kind of reassured them, we're going to keep you busy. It just won't be physical. It'll be more mental.
Coach, what do you know about your opponent tonight?
They're really good. we've had a chance to see them a couple times this week already, and they are their defense is tenacious is the best, probably the best way to explain it. They're really, really up tempo. Really, they're trying to push the pace and make you play faster than you want to play. And they really try to force you into turnovers. They're not going to sit back and let you do a whole lot. So we definitely have a tall task ahead of us. I was actually communicating back and forth with Roxanna's coach last night at about 1 a.m. trying to get some type of a game plan figured out, because Roxanna, for, you know, 2.5, 3 quarters last night, played pretty well with them.
Drew, talk to us a little bit about your personnel here at this point of the year.
We're a pretty senior-laden team. I mean, we have, you know, obviously Alex Hull is back and, in the lineup for the fourth straight year. He's a little banged up right now. He rolled his ankle on Wednesday, but he played really well yesterday considering. We've got Ryan Krabby is back. He played quite a bit last year. Austin Bryan, he's came out of the gate and played really well. He's back from last year also. Then I got Austin Chamberlain, who kind of, I don't know, he started the season off with a bang and had 21 against Wood River on Monday, which was, you know, kind of a surprise, maybe even to me. Not that I didn't think he could do it. It's just I hadn't seen it yet. Colton's a senior point guard. He did a nice job last night on the Bats kid from Metro. I think he ended up with 24 points, but he was a guy that could have went off at any point. And then we got two sophomores that have played considerable time. Cooper Scharf, who hit the three last night that sent us into overtime. He's played really, really well. You know, he's a pretty 6'2", 6'3", sophomore that plays well. And then Connor Simmons has given us, you know, some considerable time as far as big minutes in the game, because we were in a lot of foul trouble last night. At one point, I think I looked at the scoreboard and we had five guys with four fouls in the fourth quarter in overtime or something like that. Then we had also a senior, Jacob Bates, who plays center for us and came on really big this summer and struggled a little bit early in the season, but I think he'll get it put together.
And, Drew, the common denominator that I think I noticed there with all the names that you listed, those are all exceptional athletes, no matter the sport they're playing.
Right. Yeah, and we kind of made the comment last night. We were struggling to execute a few of our things against their pressure, which, you know, tonight we'll see more pressure. But we didn't break it because we were doing what we were supposed to. We broke it because we were being athletic, you know. And it's nice when you can, early in the year, kind of fall back on that. But, you know, we definitely have to clean some stuff up. And as we've talked about, if you want to beat people you're not supposed to beat, you have to be focused. You have to make sure you're executing, and you have to play hard.
And, Drew, I think the luxury of being in a tournament like this to start the year is the fact it's a pretty doggone good tournament. You're going to find out right off the bat where you stand.
Yeah, and one thing, it's frustrating from a coach's standpoint starting in a tournament where you play five games a lot, because you have to prepare for everything. So you feel like you're either leaving things out or you're not focusing on fundamentals. So that's the frustrating part. But the good thing about it is
I hit practice next week on Monday, and then we get a couple more at the end of the week, we know what we need to work on because we've seen everything. So,
Drew Logan, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, good luck tonight in the championship game against Waterloo Jabot.
All right, thank you.
Thanks,
Drew. All right, Drew, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, joining us here on Sports
you
Saturday.
You know, and with the loss of Ryan Howard, and we don't want to continue to go back and look at that time after time, but I'm telling you, it gives an opportunity for other kids to step up and to give this team a whole different look. I think so many people were expecting it to look one way, and here, you know, Drew, and Drew's got some talent there to work with, and maybe, you know, a little bit different type of team that people aren't going to be very familiar with.
And it's great that that Ryan is staying involved as actively as he is.
Is he
next
doing the sabermetrics thing now? Is that what he's doing?
Is that going over to basketball?
Well,
yeah.
Next year he'll be. I don't know how many other juniors they have on their team this year, but I mean, I would think he'll be one of the few seniors on their team next year. So a lot of those younger guys will have him to look up to, and because he's so active this year, I mean, they'll be paying right attention.
And Drew Logan's just a great basketball coach. Yeah, I mean, this is a team, they're going to get better as the year goes on. The longer he's there, the more of his program that gets instilled. Just good things on the horizon for the Litchfield basketball program. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We are back with more following these messages.
Listen for the Fighting Illini on the Tally Broadcasting Stations, brought to you by Security National Bank in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Mark Steering, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Wills Milling and Hardwoods in Carlinville. Bishop Motors, family-owned in Staunton and Litchfield. And by Bank and Trust Company in Litchfield, Farmersville, Raymond, Carlinville, Chatham, and Rochester. For the Illini broadcast schedule, check out our website, WSMIRadio.com.
Back on WSMI Sports Saturday, and David, you just found out what the Illini and Northwestern play for. Apparently, it's not a toilet.
It's the Land of Lincoln Trophy.
Oh, well, that's slightly better than a toilet.
No better way to honor a great Illinois politician than to play poor football. Poor and junior JFL-style football.
Dave, I'm glad you cleared that up, because I could just envision game time, 50-yard line, and a toilet seat set there, stool sitting there, and thinking, this is what we're playing for today,
guys.
Is this
thing hooked up?
Yeah, well, is this hooked up?
They play like a bunch of Lincoln Logs, so it only makes sense.
So the Illini and Northwestern, 2 o'clock this afternoon here on FM 106.
And you can say about we've talked about the failures of the Illini football team as far as their team success, but Nathan Shielhouse has put together some pretty dynamic numbers as a member the last 4 years.
Well, and the Illini football program, very excited about next year with the young man from Rochester set to step in as their lead guy at quarterback. So
they've taken their lumps, and like a lot of programs, it just takes a long time to turn that ship around and get it headed back in the right direction. So let's see how that's the
challenge that Tim Beckman has had with the football program. John Gross has kind of turned the ship around on the basketball team a little quicker.
Well, the thing about Gross, and we talked about this last year, is the fact that Gross knew he had horses, so he let him run.
That's right.
Yeah. Giddy up and go, fellas. Let's play some basketball.
And you watch them this year. They are so much more athletic on the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's staggering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the basketball program had a few cookies left in the closet. The football program, the cookies were all gone, and they've just had to start over.
Two things about John Gross's ball club, and like you said, Tim, they're very aggressive on the perimeter. And if they have the shot, they'll take the shot. If they have the run, they'll take the run. And the thing of it is, if things go wrong, Gross is not he'll call a timeout and he'll chew. He'll say, "Now look, guys, this is not how it's going to be." You know, he's not afraid to call an early timeout and chew some butt.
That's exactly right. So the Illini got a win last night over IPFW, and we will have the Illini football team for you on the radio this afternoon, 2 o'clock here on FM 106. Happening in DeKalb today up at NIU, more state championship hardware to be passed out. And joining us on the phone right now is Dave Kane from the Springfield State Journal Register. And Dave, just moments away up there from Montini and SHG. I would imagine there's a pretty good buzz in the stadium.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's 10 in the morning, which usually isn't a normal starting time, but this is for a state championship, and both teams are on the field warming up, and both schools with a lot of tradition. Montini going for a fifth straight state championship. I think only Addison Driscoll has, I think Driscoll won seven in a row, but, you know, and SHC's won their share of state titles. These teams used to play each other a little bit regular season a number of years ago. So, yeah, there's a lot of anticipation here.
And I believe Rochester just got their fourth one yesterday, did they not?
They did. They are the first public school to win four in a row, which is when you consider that they didn't start a football program until about 1995. That's pretty remarkable that they've now won more consecutive state championships than any other public school in the state. So,
and I broadcast that. Yeah. I broadcast their first game because they played Litchfield that year.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
As I recall, Rochester. Yeah. I think they won a couple games early that season, and they always joked about it later. Oh, hey, there's nothing to this. Well, things didn't go so well the rest of that season and the following season. I don't think they won a game, so they really had to take some lumps and pay their dues. But it's quite an achievement what they've done.
They had the first year for the state tournament to be up in DeKalb at NIU, and I was very impressed with the job that was put on yesterday in hosting that tournament.
Right. Hey, I was kind of looking for you guys.
I didn't see you.
The press box. Where were you?
We were level three box? Inside.
Level three inside. I must have. We just didn't cross paths, unfortunately. But yeah, anything new, you know, always takes a little bit of adjustment. And, you know, for us in central and south central Illinois, yeah, this is a little longer trip. But I think just overall, I talked to Marty Hickman earlier today, and he said, you know, in terms of logistics and stuff, I think they were overall pretty pleased with, you know, how things went. And, you know, luckily the weather, other than being cold, the weather, you know, has cooperated. So, I think, and I believe, if I understood Marty correctly, we're looking at really the next 8 years of the title games alternating between here in DeKalb and at U of I. You know, this is going to be, well, every other year, this is going to be the place for state title games over the next 8 years.
And Dave, I really think Husky Stadium plays very well for the high school venue because even though that's a 24,000-seat stadium, the games I saw yesterday, the stadium did not seem empty like it did a lot of times at U of I.
No, I know what you're saying. I mean, it's still, you know, I'm here this morning. I'm looking across, you know, over to the SHG side. And, yeah, there's, you know, yeah, technically there's more empty seats than full seats over there. But I think this stadium holds maybe 24,000 as opposed to at Memorial Stadium about 65,000. And it's just, you know, a crowd of this size just looks bigger. And it seems like it's more into the game, you know, at a venue like this. And it was that way at Hancock Stadium, too, at Illinois State, where the crowd's just a little more of a factor, I think. So I know what you're saying. I know that Staunton fans made a heck of a lot of noise yesterday, that's for sure.
They really did, Dave. And the final score was 40-13, but it was a situation where I thought Staunton, they showed themselves very well. They were in that ball game most of the first half.
Yeah, you're right. Boy, that first scoring drive they had, and I know that's ideally what they wanted to do. It was a long drive. It took a number of plays. It took about 8 minutes. That was just what Mike Parmentier and then the Bulldogs were hoping for, basically to keep the other team's offense off the field. And they scored, and then of course Sterling Newman, boy, boom, they came right back. But then Staunton came back later on, and Sitko made a nice touchdown catch. Yeah, and they were in it. They were in it at least I would say till maybe late second quarter, late first half, where Newman scored a couple touchdowns. And they kind of distanced themselves, but the Newman coach really praised Staunton for. He felt like they almost played even harder second half than they did first half. I don't know. But he also praised the Staunton fans. A lot of people here yesterday talked about the Staunton fans and just their spirit and the noise they made. And I think the local Chamber of Commerce here gives like a spirit award for each class, you know, 1A, 2A, 3A, to one of the teams. And Staunton, they said, was a clear-cut winner for the 2A spirit award. So they did Staunton proud yesterday.
It's amazing that the quality of football we had here across the central part of the state with the South Central and the Sangamo Conference, you know, they represented the conferences very, very well deep into the playoffs.
Right. Oh, yeah. You know, the South Central, I mean, ironically, and it just shows you what, you know, you never know what can happen, Staunton, I think, tied for fourth in the South Central. And, boy, they got on a roll But you know, several other outstanding teams. You know, Greenville made it to the semis, and of course Gillespie had to play Staunton in the quarterfinal. You know, in the Sangamo, you know, Williamsville lost to St. Joe Ogden, who lost a heartbreaker here last night in overtime in the 3A title game. And of course, Auburn came very close. It could have easily been Auburn here yesterday in 2A. So yeah, I think the Sangamo and South Central both had, you know, several teams that really had a lot of accomplishments this year.
Dave, you had a really nice article about the Parmentier family earlier this week, and you, it's just something that you do such a great job when you get together and talk with Mike Parmentier and his dad and the family that's been involved in education and athletics. This meant an awful lot to Mike Parmentier, but it meant an awful lot to Bill, too.
Oh, yes, to Bill. And even, you know, indirectly, it meant a lot to Joe, too,
sure.
I think, you know, who coaches at Wood River. Just, you know, I mean, A, they're a family. They are coaches. It's a way of life for them. Mike pointed out that, Wood River lost to Carlisle regular season. And you said Joe gave him, you know, a lot of good advice when they had to play Carlisle playoffs. Of course, Joe played it down. But yeah, you know, as you know, Bill Parmentier, I kind of love Bill Parmentier and Don DeFrino and,
yeah,
well, the late Andy Easton, God rest his soul. You know, I love all those guys together. They're old school, and they've been dedicated to coaching kids for so long. And yesterday, after the game was over, even though Staunton lost, I asked Bill Parmentier, I said, well, was it everything you thought? He said it surpassed what he thought it would be like in terms of just, he said, we were treated like kings, you know, from the time we got here and everything else. He said it was just a, he said just the whole thing surpassed his expectations. So it was just neat to see him, you know, a guy like that get to experience this at least one time, and to be on the sidelines with his son. That had to be really a special treat for Bill.
Dave, one more quick question before he lets you go so you can get set for SHG and Montini. The experience of yesterday will stay with the Bulldogs for a long time, but the game they're probably going to remember is the semifinal game between Auburn. Just kind of your thoughts on that ball game and just kind of the historical context of Staunton and Auburn playing such a classic type of game to get to state.
In fact, you know, Marty Hickman, the IHSA executive director, I was talking to him earlier today, and he said, you know, I was following that on the internet, the game, you know, I just on the score zone or something. He said, I thought Auburn was pretty much in control. And he said, the next thing I looked, Staunton had won. It was just, I mean, it just, it was another chapter in just the amazing run Staunton made this year. You know, they fell behind by 10 there with about 5 minutes to go. And who, none other than Jake Brune, you know, has that immediate kickoff return that sets them up to score. And, you know, then they get the ball back and they get a touchdown pass to Citadel. It's just, you know, it's kind of a cliche, but it's almost like, man, it was just like it was scripted, like it was meant to be. It was just a tremendous game. You know, Staunton led early, and then Auburn came back and got the lead, and it looked like they were in control. I mean, two really good programs, some wonderful coaches on both sides. It was, you know, they're both kind of from our area, and it was a shame only one of them could go here to DeKalb. But it was funny, Dave Bates, I exchanged an email with him the other day, and he said, you know, oh, people are feeling sorry for Dave because, boy, that was the fifth semifinal for him. And he said, I ran into some people at a grocery store, people I didn't even know who were telling me how sorry they were. he said, hey, we're going to be okay. Yeah, it was a disappointment, but congratulations to Staunton. So, you know, hey, there's always next season. You know, it was a memorable game.
And Dave Bates is a classy guy. I mean, he's not going to complain because he says, hey, look, we've made it there five times. How many other teams don't even get one shot at it? So,
that's true. And this, of the five games, you know, this was probably the closest they had come to getting there. So I'm sure maybe it had a little more sting to it than some of the others. But he's gonna keep turning out great teams, and hopefully eventually they'll be playing on the turf, either maybe here or Champaign sometime in the future.
Dave Kane, you can read him in the Springfield State Journal Register. Dave, we always appreciate the minutes you give us here on Sports Saturday, and enjoy what is going to be a classic 5A title game, my friend.
Okay, guys. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave Kane.
One of the best.
Oh, yeah. From the State Journal Register. And Montini and SHG about 12 minutes away in DeKalb.
And we kidded around about how this should have been the prime time game, but it really should.
Mm-hmm.
and maybe the IHSA shouldn't make a decision until they kind of see who's in the final four and maybe reverse the order of some of these games and do your 8A early and do the 4A late. That sounds nice in theory,
but imagine the headaches that would ensue when one team was offended that they got bumped out of prime time, and that'd be a mess.
Hey, and you know, teams get bumped out of prime time all the time.
They should go like flex scheduling like the NFL does for their Sunday night game. Yeah. Hey, flex Montini at SHG right into the primetime slot.
Telling you, man.
And you know,
if there's enough money involved, Tim, it'll happen.
That's a true statement right there.
And you know, Hutch and his kids at Greenville have to feel good to watch St. Joe Ogden yesterday. Played a heck of a ball game to get defeated in overtime. Yeah. So that bodes all the more for Greenville and the Greenville athletes because they played them, good game. And
well, with not only Greenville, but Carlinville, Gillespie, Stoy. You go up and down the list. There just wasn't an easy team to play in the South.
The law of averages would say at some point it has to break Greenville and Auburn's way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you would think.
So.
You can only get so close so many times before you bust that door down. But you know what? When they do bust it down, it's going to make it all the sweeter.
And you look at Staunton, Staunton played Gillespie, and Staunton could have lost to Carlisle. When you get that far, you look back at a lot of times that, hey, we're lucky to be here because this could have happened, that could have happened.
Every single team that played over the course of yesterday and that will play today had at least one game at some point during the run where they were lucky to win.
It takes great personnel, good coaching, and lady luck.
If
you're going to compete at a high level, you got to have all three. You take any one of those elements away, and you don't compete at the high level.
Or as Yogi Berra always said, whoever said lady luck was a lady.
On that note, we need a break. Back with more Sports Saturday in a moment.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. And online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Grow your own way. From auto and home insurance to financial planning, from education to retirement, Country Financial doesn't want to make your decisions for you, just support them in the best way possible.
You can grow your own way.
Just call my dad, Alan Pogenpohl, your country agent in Raymond.
And at 9:51, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sunny and warmer for today. We'll have a high of around 50 degrees. Partly cloudy skies for tonight with a low of around 30. Heading into tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. We'll have a high Sunday of around 48 degrees. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies. There is a slight chance of rain on Wednesday. Expect highs in the low 50s with the lows in the low 40s. At 9:52, we have a temperature reading of 43 degrees. The weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest.
If you have an injury that keeps you from doing your job and you need rehabilitation, consider Teamwork Rehab. Our Litchfield location offers work hardening and conditioning, along with traditional physical and occupational therapy services. Our specialized services can transition you from patient to worker faster and safer. Teamwork Rehab, a division of Hillsborough Hospital with three locations, Litchfield, Hillsborough, and Nokomis. Give us a call at 532-4160.
Teamwork Rehab. Give them a call today, 532-4160. 532-4160.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:53, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, Uncle Ralph, and David Jenkins.
Tilbanat, thank you so much. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, the last Saturday in November. That is hard to believe.
We're going to have a director's cut of this program, so the Uncle Ralph comments can be available
for online listening only.
We just have an hour show of nothing. Wouldn't be nothing left.
Oh, my goodness.
The FCC can't hold him down.
That's right. We just hope to contain him
That's right. We will have Fighting Illini basketball, actually Fighting Illini football for you this afternoon at 2 o'clock from Northwestern right here on FM 106. And then the Illini basketball squad is back in action
Tuesday night. Georgia Tech, 5:45.
Maybe one of the few... tongue-in-cheek, I say this, but one of the few opponents they've had who could give them some problems.
Well, the team last night gave them 11 down
at the half.
Yeah. You know, that was a typical danger game for a big-time basketball program. They just came off of a quality road win at UNLV. And then you come back the day after Thanksgiving, play a home game against a lesser opponent. Keep in mind, students gone, so no Orange Crush. The
place
atmosphere
is empty.
It's dead. There's nothing going on. And people may say, so what? Well, that's a big one. Yeah. That makes a difference. When the building is normally rocking and then it's dead, that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. My question is, why would your athletic director schedule games during that time period?
Well, see, this is why a lot of teams wind up playing tournaments at this time or playing neutral site games, whether it be New York, Chicago, L.A. That's the big purpose for that because campus is empty.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know why they scheduled a home game.
I don't either. I don't
know. Maybe they thought they could get away with playing a team like IPFW.
Well, they did get away with it.
Well, but in fact, though, you look at the end of the month of December, they've got Big Ten conference games.
And
the school's not even in session.
Yeah.
Well, they probably could have scheduled a neutral site game, but the United Center could have been booked. You got the Bulls, Blackhawks.
You get that done years in advance.
Oh, that's true.
But you work all that out.
Yeah, that's not a thing that you take a year ahead of time. That's five, 6, and 7 years ahead of time.
What you mentioned, Terry, like with the Big Ten Conference now kind of during the holiday break, that's one of the unforeseen consequences of these expanded conferences. When you do all this stuff for football, the trickle-down effect is it's going to mess with the basketball
season. And it's always done for football.
Of course it is.
It's always done for football. It's never done for other sports, and the other sports end up paying for it dearly in many ways when you have big conference games in front of an empty house.
Yeah, it's no good.
Well,
and
football did play a factor in this, but the Big East Conference did survive and became a strictly basketball conference only. I mean, they did lose the likes of Syracuse and Louisville, and I think Pittsburgh also went to the ACC, but they also, you know, they took the 7 Catholic schools and added Creighton and Butler as well to their conference, so it became a whole new Big East Conference.
A whole new league that no one cares about.
Well, they're going to be a perennial basketball powerhouse conference.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
I think they will.
They got some good basketball programs in there. We'll see how they do.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be very interested to see what happens to Butler now that Brad Stevens is gone, because they were always solid, but they weren't elite until that guy took over the program. So can they stay on that Gonzaga path to where they move from mid-major contender into legitimate national type of contenders every year?
I bet they don't.
And I wonder what happens with Creighton, too. I mean, leaving the Missouri Valley. Mm. I mean, where they were just dominant every year, it seems like, and now they're going to be playing stiff competition seemingly every week.
I tell you what, in the long run, it's probably going to be better for them.
See, I don't know. I was going to say in the short run it's probably better because they got that Doug McDermott now, one of the best players in the country, you know,
I think
4 years from
this
now.
Year.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
So moving forward, just like you said, the Valley seemed to just be a perfect fit for them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, but money talks these days.
Yeah.
I grinned at myself the other night, Tim, as I watched a little bit of the St. Louis University and Wisconsin game. There's old Bo. He's got 5 no names out there.
Of course.
Just kicking butt.
He's doing what he does, you know.
I tell you what, that SLU program has become, they've woken a lot of people up nationally.
Yeah.
They've gotten a lot of attention since that Atlantic 10 tournament run last year.
Well, they're getting some athletes.
Yeah.
And yeah, well, if you gotta, you're going to compete, you got to get the athletes.
That's another one. I'm curious to see how Jim Cruz does as head coach of the Billikens without Rick Majerus, because I thought, you know, once Rick Majerus passed away, that program would maybe stick around for a couple of years and then fall off. So it'll be curious to see
what
happens.
Well, I kind of think that's probably what will happen. Just, you know, that's kind of what happened when Charlie Spoonhauer left. I mean, Rick Majerus was one of the best guys in all of college basketball. I mean, he's up there with the Krzyzewskis those types of guys. I mean, he was that type of respected coach in the inner circle. So that certainly a big loss.
He's forgotten more basketball than we'll ever learn.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
He was that
kind of
guy.
Oh, he was that kind of guy. And boy, was he an entertainer.
Oh, his news conferences were just...
Oh, man.
Yeah, you could put together a highlight reel with that one.
We are out of time on the final Saturday in November. Congratulations to the Staunton Bulldogs on their second place finish in the state of Illinois for 2013. And I do want to thank Ed Herschel, because last week, Ed is the man responsible for getting Mike Parmentier and the kids up to talk to us after that big semifinal win. So to Ed Herschel, thank you for that. We are out of time here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. For Tobin, Terry, David, Uncle Ralph, I am Tim. Sports Saturday is done. Fighting Illini football from Northwestern live this afternoon, 2 o'clock, here on WQSMI FM 106. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.